What's up? I'm Tyler.
And I'm Dakota.
And this is the Bourbon and Business Podcast,
where we interview successful businessmen and women to let you in on why success doesn't have a single formula to follow.
We also have a little bourbon tasting along the way, because why not?
So guys, please enjoy this episode and let us know your thoughts at Bourbon and Business Podcast on Instagram.
Coming to you from the Bourbon and Business Podcast here in the Capitol Club in downtown Jackson, Mississippi. I'm Tyler.
And I'm Dakota.
And this is the Bourbon and Business Podcast.
You said Bourbon Business Podcast instead of studios.
Oh, did I?
Yeah.
Did I?
That's okay.
Well, hey, great. Well, how you doing this morning?
I'm great. How are you?
So evidently I'm out of practice. Well, you want to tell our listeners about this view that we have?
Yeah, we have the best view in the Jackson Metro here. We've got the view of downtown Jackson from a skyline perspective. It's fantastic. 360 panorama at the Capitol Club. They've got event space here. They've got events. They've got networking events, opportunities. They've got daily lunches, memberships. Am I missing anything?
I don't know. You covered a lot of it, but go check out their website online, Capitol Club, and check out all the services they offer. But it is the place to be in downtown Jackson.
Absolutely.
You want to introduce our guest to us this morning?
I do. Today we have special guest John Maynard, CEO of Infinite Sequence Economics. John, it's a pleasure to have you.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's nice to see you guys at the Capitol Club.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We're glad to have you here today. So, and then you want to introduce our bourbon to our listeners.
Yes. Today we have Henry McKenna Bourbon Whiskey. It's a sour mash established in 1855. Looks like it's an 80 proof. And this is in the McKenna Distillery in Bardstown, Kentucky. So what'd you think?
I thought it was really good whiskey. I'm going to come in at a 7.5 on it.
It's got a very easy smell to it, you know? I mean, there's no bite in the smell.
Very smooth. And what would you pay for this bottle?
That was a $15 bottle.
$15 bottle, so that's hard to go wrong with for $15.
It is. 7.5, not bad.
And we want to thank our sponsor, Cheers Vineyard in Gluckstadt, Mississippi. We purchased this bottle there, and if you are out in the Jackson metro area and you're saying, hey, I want some whiskey or any other type of liquor, stop by Cheers Vineyard in Gluckstadt, and they can pretty much get you whatever you want. And
yes.
Have a great, knowledgeable staff there. Ask for JT.
Absolutely. And for real, go do it and tell him that we sent you. He loves it when people come in and you good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. He loves it when people come in and talk to him about the podcast. So.
Yeah. Well, and to all our listeners, if they're wondering, I dropped my paper on the ground. So, John, I was trying to remember your name there for a second, but I just want to, we always start this off just.
Y'all see what I have to deal with?
My name is John. That's kind of hard to remember.
Yeah. Well, you know.
There's not a lot of them out there.
Well, my first name's John, so I should be able to remember that, huh?
You would think so.
But.
Well, maybe there's something with bourbon at, on a Saturday morning.
Yeah, maybe so.
Probably.
You know, I guess if you forget someone's name, going with John, that's a pretty high percentage that you might say the right
name.
There.
That's true. That's true.
But John,
the next one down the list is Chief. Hey, Chief.
There you go. Well, John, we appreciate you coming on today. First, we always like to start this off. Just tell our listeners where you're from, you know, where you grew up, and then how you started the business that you have today, and tell them a little bit about your business.
It's kind of a long story.
you have 2 minutes. I'm just kidding.
Okay, I'll do it in 36. I grew up as an Army brat, and I spent most of my time growing up actually in Orlando, Florida. When I was 14, we moved to Natchitoches, Louisiana, which is a small town in central Louisiana. And my father retired from the Army, took over the family business, which was movie theaters.
Interesting.
He got a great job offer out in California working for one of the contractors he worked with in the Army. And so they left at about the time I graduated from college. And so I started off my career right out of college being running the family business. So we had a few movie theaters in Louisiana. And that sort of, I grew. I was there for almost 20 years. I went to work for my in-laws in printing and office supplies. And so I was a salesman and doing a few other things. Then I went to work for my brother, who actually was a mortgage broker back in the time when mortgages were becoming the enemy, preparing everything for the 2008 downfall.
Yeah.
I went into banking for 2 years, hated every second of it. But the whole time that I was doing those different career things, I was involved with the Chamber of Commerce in Natchitoches, Louisiana, and working with economic development, working with the Chamber of Commerce. And I turned 40 years old. I was sitting in a bank that I really didn't want to be working in. And I reached out to a friend of mine who was actually a congressional staffer. And he told me that, hey, there's this great economic development job opening up in Shreveport that you ought to think about. And so I found out that paid people to do this stuff. And so I went to work at what is now the North Louisiana Economic Partnership, run by a good friend of mine named Jason Dixon. I'm sorry, Justin Dixon. Yeah, good friend of mine, Justin. anyway, so I went to work in a small town called Minden, and I was working for the city of Minden, but also for the parish of Webster, or at least half the parish of Webster, and been also working for 10 parishes throughout northwest Louisiana. And so I got a really great two-year sort of master's degree in economic development based on all the work that I was doing on the, you know, all of a sudden it's a sink or swim type of situation. I was recruited to go to Starkville, Mississippi, and then I was recruited to Oxford, Mississippi. I was in Oxford about 10 years, and, my time in Oxford, I was able to really examine economic development and whether or not what we think of economic development, which is mostly industrial recruitment, if that's really successful, or is maybe there's another way to do it. And so when I started putting together this spreadsheet to see if Oxford was really successful economically, I started putting together things like, you know, population growth and job growth and, poverty levels. And, you know, the spreadsheet just got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger as I was trying to prove that, well, maybe Oxford wasn't nearly as successful as I thought it was. But what I discovered was that some of the communities and even states that we consider economic development successes, their economy is going backwards, and it's not as strong as it should be. I put together a matrix of about seven different type of metrics, economic metrics that affect people that are readily available, that are easily accessible. And you can compare apples to apples from one community. I can compare Lafayette County, Mississippi to any county in Texas and on a fair basis and say which one is doing strong economically, which one is not. And so as I looked at all that and realized that I was somewhat of a heretic in the economic development world, but that there were small communities around that needed help and understood that they're never going to get a Toyota plant. They're never going to get an Amazon Web Services data center for $10 billion worth of investment. But what they can do is they can support their local business owners, and they can support the entrepreneurship, and they can support the things that they can do to make their economy better, and they can use the metrics that I put together for them to actually track their success. And these metrics that I put together for them give them that strategic plan. So you see you're failing in you've got a negative population growth. Well, maybe you should start recruiting people, and maybe they find jobs that pay better, or whatever that happens to be for that community. I can go in there and help that community get better with what they do. So I started Infinite Sequence Economics. There's a long story about that name. It's on my website. But the real goal of what I'm trying to get done is to help smaller communities, primarily smaller communities, in accomplishing their goals and looking at economic development as developing the economy and to grow in a certain way that makes more sense for them, gives them success. And so that's really what I've been doing. I've been working with several small communities. I actually have some larger clients. I work in the marketing areas, sort of as an extra person in the office to help work with managing industrial recruitment deals, entrepreneurship things. One of the biggest things I'm working on right now is I'm actually under contract with the Mississippi Small Business Development Centers. And we're working very hard to help align all the resources in the state of Mississippi for entrepreneurs. And that is a group called Connect MS. And it's my job to sort of take that on and refine it so that all the resources, the universities, the funders, the finance people, all the different bits and pieces that are our entrepreneurial ecosystem in the state of Mississippi begin to align. And so that there is a way for everybody to connect to one another. We can connect entrepreneurs to each other. We can connect the resources to the entrepreneurs. But more, most importantly, is we can connect the resources to one another so that we're not duplicating resources and making the trying to figure out how we can improve the wheel. When the wheel's already done, let's just go ahead and execute with that wheel. Let's start doing things with it. So that's pretty much what I'm doing with my new company, and I'm enjoying the heck out of it.
That's an extremely interesting story, and I'm wondering, as you were speaking, my initial thought goes to, have you seen remote work help those communities that maybe would not get that $10 billion Amazon Web Services facility?
The answer is yes and no.
Okay.
There are, in a lot of small communities, you don't necessarily have as many remote workers as you might think. There, in most of your small towns, particularly the ones that are cut off from broadband, that don't have the necessarily the broadband access that you'd have in the larger cities.
Yeah, and that's something that we don't really think about.
Yeah, and that's, you think about the importance of having a road or a railroad or a port or anything like that, but broadband is now as probably even more critical to that economic activity. But I am seeing communities that are thriving on bringing remote workers in. You know, take Tulsa for example. Tulsa brought in, you know, they're privately funded. These remote workers come in at $10,000 a pop. We'll pay you $10,000 if you come live and work in our community. And I actually met with several groups up there and some business incubators and others that people were there because of that. And they came from other places. They came. In fact, I met a young lady who came from Mississippi, and I told her she needed to get back. But that's I'm seeing some success in that. Now, the tough part of that is you're also seeing an awful lot of areas that are having difficulties with commercial real estate, where all these larger companies or even, you know, law firms and that sort of thing are realizing we don't have to pay for all this expensive office space. People can work from home. It really is a double-edged sword. But for entrepreneurship, for getting your business off the ground, for starting something new, it's probably the best platform that you can have. You can literally do anything from anywhere as long as you have the connectivity.
In my opinion, I've lived in Mississippi my entire life. It's kind of an exciting time right now for what's going on in the state, the emphasis on economic development, and the hope that I think enough's going to be done here in the near future that we will start seeing that people that were leaving the state to go find jobs, you know, that everybody talks about, I guess, what's it, the brain drain or whatever, that will stop and that we can keep, you know, our good young people here in the state. Are you seeing trends towards that now?
Honestly, no. Hate to throw a wet blanket on that, but the trends in Mississippi are negative. The economic structure that I look at, we're seeing, and we've been seeing for a very long time. It didn't start at COVID. For 30 years, we've been seeing a negative trend in population. We've been seeing a gap. If you take your average wages on a national basis and compare Mississippi to that, we're seeing that gap getting wider and wider. In other words, we're growing our average annual wages, we're growing our median household income, but the annual rate is so much faster, and so we're not keeping up with the annual rate of wealth development. Now, I will say that presents opportunities for something like the Amazon Web Services data center that's going to be opening in Madison very soon. Well, I say very opening very soon, that they just announced. You're seeing a lot of other large industrial projects that are coming to Mississippi, because it's cost beneficial to the companies to make that happen. But the real challenge is, if you want to keep people here, if you want to make young people want to stay here, you've got to make them need to stay here. And so we need to get broadband everywhere. We need to get people engaged in the process of creating their own businesses. We've got to get young people so that they understand that their future can be in Mississippi, that they can live here a lot less expensively than they can in Austin or Nashville or Atlanta or anywhere else, and that they can develop a business on their own. Or what I would like to see is, we've got thousands and thousands of businesses out there that have been in a family for decades, that the single family owner has owned this, let's say, a tire store, and he's got kids. The kids move to Austin, Atlanta, Nashville, anywhere you want to go. they don't really want to take over this tire store. It's a tire store, but it's a lucrative business, and it's an ongoing concern. And if we had the ability through our universities to connect young people who are about to get a degree with people that are looking for an exit strategy on their business, rather than just turning off the key, you know, locking it up and walking away, it would be so much better to have people in Mississippi and our universities be able to walk into even a tire store, not glamorous at all. But those are things that if it goes away in some small towns, that's the only tire store. And that's the only income that maybe three or four people have is in that shop. But if we had the ability to create pathways into existing businesses that are looking to exit in the next 10 to 15 years, that would be a remarkable way to keep the economy going and strong. Because otherwise, the alternative is, well, they just lock the doors and the business goes away and two or three people lose a job. But if that happens 4,000 or 5,000 times, then you've got an awful lot of people that are out of work or looking for something new.
What is the strategy there, John, in your opinion, that should be had? Should it be town by town, or should it be all at once, south at once, and then central Mississippi and then the north? Or, you know, what would that look like?
You're talking about for the exit strategy?
Yeah, for to go, you know, and to solve that issue.
Yeah, that it's got to start with it has to start with somebody that is willing to take that on as a project, to take that on as really sort of having a, you know, we've got great business brokers in Mississippi, and they'll take that on. But we need to also start with the universities where kids are getting degrees, and even in high schools where the kids are being formed. They're being convinced that this is a path that you need to take for your future. And we're telling them things that, we're telling kids to go get a job in Austin. We're preparing them to go get a job somewhere else. And we're not doing things directly to influence them to stay in Mississippi. And so if you start at that level and convince them, hey, here's an opportunity, it may not be glamorous, but look at this guy. This guy's got a great big house. This guy's got nice cars. This guy goes on vacation to the beach every year. And if you go to work for KPMG in Chicago, you're going to work 80 hours a week, and you're going to be barely making it in Chicago. You're going to have a tough time with getting where you want to be. So it really starts with when you get the young people who are impressionable, and then you've got to connect them with the people that don't have an exit strategy but need to help them create an exit strategy. Then you can create that. And you said town by town, region by region, that sort of a thing. I think it does start on a small basis. You create an ecosystem somewhere. And you create the model and
prove that it works. Yeah. We had the state auditor Shad White on not too long ago, and you're echoing a lot of what he was saying, that the statistics that he's pulling show as well. And maybe y'all work together on this, I don't know, but he was telling us that, you know, the degrees that kids are getting at these state sponsored universities and whatnot are degrees that Mississippi as a whole, as a state, doesn't have jobs for. So they have to leave because there's nowhere for them to go.
Yeah. But in on the same scale is we're providing them with, you know, sort of multi-purpose degrees, you know, general business or accountancy or even engineering, those sort of things. Those are general skills. We're just convincing them that they've got to go somewhere else for success.
Mm.
And that's the change. That's where we need to make the impressionable people who are getting these skills just to stay here. The other piece of that puzzle is you take Ole Miss, for example. There are the preponderance of students that are here are from somewhere else. They're not from Mississippi. And they're just going to turn around and go back home, wherever they came from. Why don't we convince them that they can stay in Mississippi and use those skills, especially if it's a multi-purpose type skill? Spend our time with essentially recruiting those kids to stay in Mississippi. And that's how we're going to be able to develop our economy in the future.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, I think I stated earlier, I grew up in Mississippi, and in my opinion, I've always been in Mississippi. There's no better place to do business, in my opinion. Like I said, I mean, I can't speak to any other state because I haven't lived there, but I do know that people here like supporting local. They like doing business with people they know and people that are contributing to the community, and I think that is something that people, especially around this area in the business community, that they look at and say, hey, we want to make sure we are supporting the people here. And I think for any people out there listening that's thinking, hey, are they, I'm trying to decide, am I going to stay in Mississippi? Am I going to go to another state? I would say, you know, put a lot of thought into staying here because this is a good place to work and it is a great environment. And I couldn't see myself living anywhere else.
Well, I, you know, having grown up as an Army brat, I didn't get to live in the cool places like Germany or Guam. I get to live in, but I did live in every southern state. So I've lived in Florida, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, Texas, and then a short stint in Kansas. I've seen the entire Southeast. I've seen the Gulf Coast. I've seen what that is. Mississippi, particularly Oxford, has been the best move we've ever made. There are great things that are happening here, great things that can happen here. And the cost of doing business, the relative ease of doing business, those are things that really do stand out. Our biggest challenge is that we've got people that are convinced that, well, Mississippi is Mississippi, and we're the butt of everybody's jokes. And even when I lived in Louisiana, you know, they always said, thank God for Mississippi. So those are things that we've got to get over.
Yeah.
And we've got to really convince people, and we've got to convince people at the local level. And I think the lowest hanging fruit on that, convincing people that Mississippi is a great place to live, are the most recent alumni from our universities, because so many of those are packing up and leaving here very rapidly. Now, I will also say that with my new company, I've had opportunities to work in many other states. I've even done some work in Canada. We are so far behind in quality of place and convincing people that they need to stay where they are. This movement that I'm trying to really get going in Mississippi, we're 10 years, maybe even 20 years behind, even a little bitty town in Canada.
Oh, wow.
That they're really pushing hard on this. When I first got into economic development, there was a phrase out there put out by just about every instructional economic development course that I took that said, if you use the words, it's a great place to live, work, and play, they're going to laugh you out of the room. And now that, you know, that quality of place is number one in people's eyes for where they want to locate. If Toyota executives feel like they can't move their executives into North Mississippi, then they're not going to go there. They're just going to go somewhere else because the happiness of their employees is starting to come first. And the ability for that employee to employ their spouse in that same community is becoming number one. It used to be a number 10 on the list, maybe, but now it is elevated to number one. COVID proved that we can work from anywhere, and these people are choosing to do that. And so we've got to be able to catch up with the rest of the country as far as proving that we have great quality of place. I'm doing some work with a Midwestern state at the state level. And that Midwestern state is absolutely crushing it. They're doing, as we try to get their mega sites, their large industrial sites online to market them. And they're saying, okay, well, just pull the plug on that one because we just sold it. They're selling these industrial plots faster than we can get them marketed.
Wow.
But at the same time, this is a state that is working very heavily in entrepreneurship, small business, and quality of place. And we just have not been pushing that small business, quality of place, and entrepreneurship nearly hard enough to be able to compete at that level.
Well, I think it's a good time.
And I'm sorry to be a wet blanket on all that stuff.
No. I mean, you're the expert on it, so we want to hear from you and what you're seeing.
Look,
so,
to make the future brighter, you got to know what the truth of the present is.
Yeah, and we hope that our listeners can hear this and say, okay, what can we do to make it more appealing to stay here in Mississippi to keep? Because that helps the business community as a whole, that we can keep those people here and that we can, you know, have them buying from our businesses or working in our businesses. That's what we're trying to establish here.
Yeah.
Well,
and those are things that, you know, with my new company, that's what I do. I try to help people go in that direction. But the biggest, effort that we've got to put out there is a mindset change of realizing that it's not all about just, the large industrial projects, but we really need to focus on the other 92% of our employment in the entire state of Mississippi. And that's a big deal.
Yeah. For sure. Well, we'll take this time to do a bourbon break. And Dakota, You want to give us your thoughts on the bourbon?
Yeah, Henry McKenna bourbon whiskey. Again, it's 80 proof, and it's pretty good. I'm not going to lie. For $15, I mean, you can't go wrong here. You were at a 7.5. I think I'm right in the same ballpark at like a 7.7.
7.7.
Yeah.
Well, and John, give us a little bit of insight. What do you see in the near future for your company, and mainly for Mississippi? What do you see for that?
I'm working with a couple of smaller communities in Mississippi, and the feedback that I'm getting from the smaller communities is it mirrors what I've just been preaching to you, that they need help with expanding their entrepreneurship base. They need help with just understanding how to deal with this sort of shift in economic development mindset, going from being business friendly to people friendly. And I call it people based economic development. For my company, I'm brand new. I've been at this for 8 months now, and it's steadily growing. I've got a number of large clients. I've got a number of small clients. But the main mission continues to be for me, making sure that the smaller communities, particularly in Mississippi, I would love to be working in every small community in Mississippi, but making things better in, say, the Delta, for example, where traditional economic development skills don't apply, you've got different things to do. So my hope is that some of your listeners out there are able to hear that, look, I can at least come and try to help. And they've heard that story all the time of, I'm with the government, I'm here to help. Or I'm here to help you, and here's a bill for $10,000. That's not me. I spend an awful lot of time giving free advice, and want to make sure that my clients feel like they're actually getting worth from me before they write a check. So those are the things that I see from my own personal business. For Mississippi, I sound like a wet blanket. I sound like I'm complaining about Mississippi, but I've been here for roughly 16 years. I feel like, I've earned the right to be able to call out some of the things that I think need to be called out. But the positives of Mississippi, Mississippi really is a great place. And I think you guys, you nailed it originally, that it's low cost. It's quality of life. It's knowing your neighbors. It's knowing your local government. It's knowing the people in your community and being a part of your community. Those things are still alive, well, and very, very active at all levels. Even when you talk about region to region, we all have friends that are on the coast. We all have friends in North Mississippi. We all have friends in Central Mississippi. And we all feel like, while we sometimes get divided on things, we all know each other in Mississippi. It's one big, small community. So focusing on those sort of things really, when you're attracting new business here or you're trying to keep young people here, let them know that they're important. That's what we need to be doing. And we do a very good job of that in Mississippi. I just think that we can do it a little bit better and a little more deliberately.
Well, John, we appreciate you coming on today.
Absolutely.
We like to always take this time. If there's I guess you're mainly working with city governments and those type things, and you can correct me if I'm wrong on that. But what would your ideal client, what would be the best way for them to get in touch with you about your consulting services that you offer?
Just go to my website, sequence-economics.com, and you can learn all about that and connect with me. And it's pretty, pretty straightforward. And I'm sort of a multi-tool. You tell me what you need, tell me where your gaps are, and I'm more than happy to help you figure out how to make that work.
Great. Well, thanks for coming on today. And for our bourbon today, for Henry McKenna, we are going to give it a 7.6. So
that's beautiful math.
Good
fantastic.
Whiskey. And to all our listeners, however you stream this podcast, if you would go give us a rating and subscribe, and then also follow us on social media, and we'll see you next week. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode.
If you have any feedback or would like to be featured, reach out to us at bourbonandbusinesspodcast@gmail.com.
Or find us on Instagram at bourbonandbusinesspodcast.
Thanks again for listening.
Follow us for more content and info on the next episode.